Let us turn to read God's word. And our reading this evening is from the New Testament and from the Gospel of Mark. Mark's Gospel and chapter 6. And we're going to read from verse 1 through to verse 34. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, at the beginning. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honour, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marvelled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, except a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from the house, from the place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said, This is Elias. And others said, This is a prophet or one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy man, and observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee, and when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, Whatsoever thou hast asked of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison. and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when the disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. And the disciples gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and went them and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Amen. And we look to the Lord again for his blessing to give us understanding in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. And we continue also our worship and our praise of God, this time using words from Psalm 36, breaking in to sing and read from verse 5. Psalm 36 at verse 5, Thy mercy, Lord, is in the heavens, Thy truth doth reach the clouds, Thy justice is like mountains great, Thy judgments deep as floods. Lord, Thou preservest man and beast. How precious is Thy grace, therefore in shadow of Thy wings men's sons their trust shall place. They with the fatness of thy house shall be well satisfied. From rivers of thy pleasures thou wilt drink to them provide. Because of life the fountain pure remains alone with thee. And in that purest light of thine we clearly light shall see. Thy loving kindness unto them continue that thee know. And still on men upright in heart thy righteousness bestow. Psalm 36 from 5 through 10, these five stanzas, Thy mercy, Lord, is in the heavens. The image that is sometimes often used, in fact, concerning the Lord is of a shepherd. A shepherd knows his sheep. Some sheep are apprehensive. Sometimes they can be startled so easily. Other sheep are bold and determined. Some sheep need and can be left to find their own way here or there, but other sheep need more guidance. So it is with each of the believers of the Lord. He knows each of his people in their character. You and me. He knows each of us from the situation we are living in and the problems, perplexities, and providences that surround us. He knows all the experiences we've got stored up in our memory, the path we walked, the things we've gone through. He knows us. And so therefore he is able to minister to us what we need, why we need it, and how it is to be given to us. Simon Peter, we all can see him and recognize the way in which he was a person that needed his character to be rubbed down and subdued, restrained, the corners and the sharp edges to be filed away and to be brought down considerably. On the other hand, you have Timothy. And Paul writes to Timothy, and when he writes to him, recognizes the way in which Timothy needs to be encouraged, not to be intimidated by the people that he's dealing with, but constantly to assert the truth that Paul had committed to him. Something might come into your life, and you don't know why it's there, but it is there. Possibly and perhaps, certainly I would say, because it is necessary, but it is also there because it is the perfect wisdom of God to deal with you in the problem that he is addressing. We all know the familiar words of the poem, "Man's life is laid in the loom of time to a pattern he does not know. While the weaver works and the shuttles fly till the dawn of eternity. Some shuttles are filled with silver thread and some with threads of gold, while often but the darker hue is all that we may behold. But the weaver watches with a skillful eye as each shuttle flies to and fro and sees the pattern so deftly wrought as the loom works sure and slow. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly shall God unroll the pattern and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned." Yes, he knows us. We've seen this morning in Matthew chapter 20, verse 17, the way in which, going up to Jerusalem, quite deliberately, the Lord was repeating the teaching that he had been giving to the disciples. He was preparing them for what was to come upon them and also to come upon himself. And it was important. It was important they grasp hold of this vital truth and retain it, and to do so without any distractions in the process of teaching, instructing, and educating them. So what does the Lord do? When you go back to Matthew chapter 20, verse 17, it says, "And he took them apart." He separated them away from the distractions that would spoil the things that he wanted to tell them. He wanted to get their attention, and he did that by isolating them for a moment from anything that would intrude that process. The Lord does the same with us. We all need to be taught vital spiritual truths. And that's the benefit and the blessing of the Lord's Day, when we can read ourselves privately or when we gather together like we're doing here and now. That Lord taking them apart. But I want to come to our text tonight. In verse 31 of this chapter we read from Mark chapter 6. Where we find the Lord doing exactly the same thing, but for a wholly different reason. Read that verse again. "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." They hadn't got the peace even to eat their bread and jam. They hadn't got the peace even to drink a cup or a glass of water. That's how intense the pressure was. And the Lord recognized it and says, "Come apart." And he separated them for a very specific purpose. We're told back there in verse 7, the way in which the Lord sent them out, two by two, 12 sets of pairs. He gave them authority. He told them what to do. He said, "Go out." And he gave them power over unclean spirits. They were not going with their own message, but they were going with the message of the Lord. And as they were going in the Lord's name, so the Lord bestowed blessing and authority upon them. They were his ambassadors. They made no apology for what they were saying, no apology for what they were doing. A note that we need to capture and to retain and to protect ourselves today. When we speak in God's name. And we're telling people not our own personal opinion or the view of a congregation or a denomination or any kind of such local pact or party. But we speak in the name of our God and tell people what they need to know that the Lord has graciously communicated to them. They spoke, we're told, about repentance, verse 12. These pairs were a support to each other. When one was down, the other would have been up. And so they complemented each other. But as they went, they met hospitality, or they met hostility. And each one of these experiences for them and for us, even today, each one of these carries its dangers for us. We can become laid back in the face of hospitality. We can be prepared to throw in the towel in the face of hostility. But what the Lord is saying to these his disciples and to us, let neither of these extreme circumstances deflect you from the purpose I'm sending you on. You are going out in my name, and on the basis of that work, they were to rely upon the Lord. They were to take no, as it were, backup. No staff, no script, no bread, no money. They were going out utterly dependent and relying upon the Lord himself. And they were going out with a very, very heavy responsibility. They were dealing with spiritual matters in those they were speaking with. And these spiritual matters must not be lightly treated or handled by us. If we speak of these things in a flippant or a laid-back attitude, how do we expect those with whom we are dealing to treat them with the responsibility and the solemnity that they ought to have? We need to convey that in what we say and how we say it, so that people may realize what we're dealing with and talking about. A responsibility dealing with spiritual things. And that was brought out by the way in which they were to brush the dust off their feet. A pious Jew would remove the dust of the Gentile land before he were to re-enter Israel. Because these heathen Gentile lands, in the mind of the pious Jew, were underneath the displeasure of God. And therefore he would have nothing, even the very dust, taken into the land of Israel, where God's blessing was to be found and experienced. So there they are, they're going out. They're going out perhaps with a degree of apprehension, uncertainty. They're going out with a degree of anxiety. They go out and they go through the ministry, and then they come back. We're told the way in which the Lord required them to come back and to report back of what they had seen and what they had done. They were excited. They had seen so much. They had learned a little more of the Lord's blessing and from the Lord's hand. And in the midst of all of these things that they come back and speak about and share with each other and with the Lord says to them, and we come to the point, he says to them, come yourselves apart and rest a while. They, you and me, we need rest. We can be like them for so many different reasons. Maybe not mission work as we're talking of specifically here from them, but there can be so many different experiences in your life and mine, personal circumstances, social circumstances, working circumstances that can make us just like them. And with the same need as they had for rest. Life can be so hectic today, and so easily can we be dragged along at the pace of life. And so we need to be careful that we get the right balance, the right priorities that we said there from Psalm 27, the right priorities. One thing I of the Lord desired. We were asking it this morning when the Lord asked these two blind men, what do you want me to do for you? The same emphasis tonight. What is our priority? And here the Lord is setting it out clearly and plainly that they need rest. They need to recover their strength. The Lord himself, look at his life and the demands that were upon him. The responsibilities he had to carry. Look at the way in which there were so mental, emotional, physical, spiritual demands laid upon him. And he was a human like you and I without sin. And he recognized the limitations that he had. And he realized the need that he now shares with these disciples and with us. We find him even at the very beginning of Mark's Gospel, verse 35. What do we do? What does he do? But very early in the morning, he is up and he is at prayer before anyone else, laying a good, solid foundation. A spiritual reviving and refreshing, drawing on spiritual resources through prayer to go out to attack that day, whatever it held for him. He knew it for himself, the need to come apart and to recover and to regroup. And so he's telling the same to his disciples. And he's taking them to a lonely spot. And he sometimes does that to you and me also. Takes us to a lonely spot where we can rest a while. We can be in similar circumstances. We can be exposed to similar distractions. We can be underneath a similar kind of pressure. And if so, we need the similar kind of treatment. The Lord is calling them and us to retreat. It can be after spiritual work like they were engaged in. Or it may be because we've come through a trying time. We can all fill in the details that from our own diaries that might bring us in the same situation as these people were in. But the Lord speaks and he says, take time. Make time to be with him. We're confronted, even this very night, the way in which the rainfall in Lochaber is always spoken about. What does rain do but wash the goodness out of the ground? And if you're going to get any growth out of the ground, you've got to constantly keep on feeding it so that that ground will then feed the plants and they'll grow. Well, a Christian's life is constantly being drained, depleted and exhausted. And there are times when we feel that painfully and acutely. And we need to be strengthened by the Lord. And so he says to us, come apart and rest a while. Come apart and be alone with the Lord, just you and your God. You know, we've said it so often and we can repeat it that today, any Christian, we're not going to be tested on however much of the theologies of the scriptures we know, how much we know of our Greek and our Hebrew, how much we know of church history, how much we know of these academic subjects. These are not the areas where you and I are going to be tested tomorrow as we live our Christian life, wherever that might be. you and I are going to be tested on our practical living out of the Christian life and faith. You and I need to show the Christian faith in flesh and blood clothing. Just a few weeks ago, we quoted that simple, again, a very simple set of words. You're writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do and by the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithful and true. Just what is the gospel according to you? That's where we're going to be tested. Our relationship with the Lord, drawing upon Him in private as we come aside and apart with Him. And if we don't, we know the example from Peter's life when he followed the Lord afar off. And so often we found in our own, when that happens, that we're quickly defeated, or we deny, or we doubt, or we drift. We need to come apart and meet with the Lord. And especially we do it here on the Lord's own day. We gather together and we worship Him for who He is and what He is. He is the living Lord God Almighty, worthy to be praised of all men, simply because of who He is. But as we look at our own life, we gather also the good things that we've received from Him. And we worship Him from that personal testimony ourselves. But as we gather in our service, we also bring with us our own heart and our own soul. And sometimes no one else might notice it. But we're carrying a burden, or we've got a problem, or we feel that our batteries, our spiritual batteries, are flat. And we're told, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that particular text in Isaiah 40 comes out of the chapter where God's people thought that God had forgotten them, that their way had been passed over by God, that some or other God was no longer interested or caring about them. And then at the end of that very chapter it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He gives power then to the weak. Those that have no might, He increases strength. We can be daily run down, depleted. We can be losing our enthusiasm as each day of the week unfolds. And when we come together in public worship, no one else knows. Preacher, nor the person beside you knows. But you've got your heart and you're holding it up as an empty cup to the Lord. And you're looking to the Lord. And your prayer to the Lord is, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, today through your word, ministering to my soul. Because, Lord, I need it. The public gathering together, be it to the service like this on the Lord's Day, be it to the prayer meeting through the week. Other people might mock us for gathering and say, well, what do you expect to achieve by meeting downstairs on a Wednesday night? What are you expecting to achieve? And sometimes when we come to the prayer meeting, we don't always come. And that applies to the minister and to everyone else. We don't always come buoyant in our spirit. Sometimes we're dragging our spirit along on the ground behind us. But often we find that when we come like that, the Lord graciously meets with us. And like we've said so often in the past, when the Lord ministered to Joshua, He didn't give to Joshua a new promise or something mystical or something that had never been revealed before. What the Lord did to encourage Joshua was he told him what he had done or said to him in the past in chapter 1. Joshua, this is the promise, and I'm repeating it to you. And it comes out of that special new circumstance situation, and it encourages him. So it is with ourselves. The Lord meets with us when we're down like this. And he brings something that's very familiar with us. And he comes and he brings it and applies it to our heart. We know it. We've heard it before. But because it's tailored to just where you are, because it's measured exactly to meet your need, it comes with that freshness, with that power, with that application. And you go from that prayer meeting, that gathering of worshiping people, whatever it might be, you go and you can say, I met the Lord. No, you can say, the Lord met with me in that place. Yes, the retreat. But as we come to the retreat and to be with the Lord, what's its purpose? The purpose is simply to rest and to receive from him. We said at the beginning that he is the shepherd of his people. He has come to minister to his people. When we're told to rest, it doesn't mean inactivity and switching everything off and closing everything down. That's not what it means. But it means receiving from him. Those that are watered need to be watered themselves. We need to recharge our spiritual strength and our spiritual batteries for the spiritual battle. We need to rest and receive. And sometimes that ministry comes in ways we least would expect. One experience we often hear of today is burnout. Somebody who's been going at 110% for so long cannot sustain it, and they suddenly fall flat, burnt out. I believe Elijah was like that. There's all the excitement of Mount Carmel. There's all the challenge of the confrontation with the prophets of Baal. There's all the excitement of God answering and coming by fire to consume the sacrifice and to lick up the water. What excitement, what enthusiasm, everything going flat out in Elijah's life. And you go into the next chapter, and there you find Elijah, when the pressure is off and the adrenaline is no longer flowing, he's exhausted. He's worn out. He just simply crawls away underneath a juniper bush and he says, Lord, just let me die. And the Lord meets with him. And what does the Lord say to him? Have a good sleep. Have a good meal. That's the way the Lord ministered to Elijah. The love and the care in the most surprising of ways to him. It comes to all of us. We can sometimes be cold in our spirit. Sometimes we have lost the joy as a Christian. Sometimes we can become quite routine in our Christian living. And what we need is that fresh relationship to be renewed with the Lord. What we need is that freshness of these familiar truths that were once sweet to us, to come back with sweetness again to us. That we might see again the familiar things that perhaps we have neglected. And if needs be, we've got to retrace our steps to find the point where we lost that experience and what has caused it to go from us. And there at that point, back down the road we've travelled, we put things right between our soul and our God. And then we move on. And we move on with a freshness and with a fresh experience of the joy and the love and the care, the loving kindness of God to us. We rest and we receive a word of encouragement for us. We see things in a different light. We see things in a different perspective and a different picture. We come, yes, handling familiar things, but at one time they were fresh, but they've lost that appeal. And we're asking the Lord again to bring that back to us. To see the vision. To feel His love and to know His care. To realize what He's done in His grace and His mercy for us. Who are you? Who are you? And you can say, we are children of the Lord God Almighty. We are His. Not because of anything in us, but we are His because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on that cross. We are destined to be with the Lord. We have all the commitment of heaven in the covenant God has made, committed to our survival, our good and our well-being. You walk alone. But you're not lonely. You walk alone, but you're not exposed and vulnerable and ready to be knocked down by anyone who comes along, because the resources of heaven have been deployed and set out round about you to protect you. We need to learn these things that sometimes we can often forget. Sometimes with the sheer busyness of life, we do that. And the Lord takes us alone and apart, not only to retreat, but to rest and to receive again the things we've lost along the way. But one last thought before we finish. Not only the rest, not only the retreat, not only receiving, but the one last thought I want is the return. Because notice what it says there. Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. It's not permanent. It's not there always and forever to be the experience of these disciples. Yes, there's times when we're cast down. And we need to be ministered to and refreshed by the Lord like this. But we then, having been refreshed, go back out into the work He's given us to do. The place we're living, it might not be a big mission field. It might be simply the mission field of our own homes and our own family circle. But there, having received of God's goodness and mercy, we return again to speak with, to relate to, show to them what it is to be a Christian. We go back, drawing on what we've received from the Lord, His gracious ministry to us, with words and truths and experiences that we can hardly forget. The care and the encouragement we receive from his hand. The gentle balm of oil that he's applied to our weary souls. And when we receive these things from the Lord, they make us bold. Remember what Daniel tells us in chapter 11. And they that know their God shall be strong, and what else? And they shall do exploits. There are times, yes, when we can be, if we were to take the examples we've taken of Mary and Martha, there are times when we must be up and working like Martha. But there are times also when we must be like Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus our Lord, and taking into our soul more of what he has done, and what he has promised, and what he is to his people. We must receive, but then we must return. Go back out there to speak with and share with others what the Lord has given to us. Yes, today is a good day for the Lord's people. Every Lord's Day ought to be like that. But as we go out into the work of Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week, we show to others where we've been and who we've been with. We show to others what we received from his hand. We return a while to spread more of this life, to share more of the joy of knowing the Lord, to speak with them of the Savior we know and they need to know for themselves. Yes. The Lord knows exactly when there is need for you and for me. The Lord knows perfectly how to minister that need to you and me. Sometimes he will do it in a way that cannot make sense to us at the beginning. But as we wait and wait and wait, the light and understanding comes. And then we can say, yes, that's why it happened. That's why it came. And we can see and we can trace the good hand of the Lord dealing with his people with loving kindness. He is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep and they hear his voice, and he meets them in their need with a perfectly matched ministry over what they need at that very time. That's the way the Lord dealt with his disciples here in this passage tonight. But as we look at it, linger upon it and think of it, it is but a mirror where we see something of the way the Lord deals with his people still, perhaps even with you and me tonight in our need. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, we stand again underneath thy word. We listen to what thou hast to say to us. We take it to ourselves and we pray, O God, that thou wouldst apply it, that there would be good derived and felt by us tonight from all we've experienced this day in thy house. And so, Lord, may there be a light shining, not just simply from the light within this house and out through the windows into the street round about us, but may there be a light, Lord, shining from our lives as we relate, as we connect, as we get on with life underneath the gaze of people in our society today. Keep us close. Use us, Lord, and pardon us our sin. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close by singing then from Psalm 86. Psalm 86, and at the beginning, O Lord, do thou bow down thine ear and hear me graciously. Because I sore afflicted am and am in poverty. Because I'm holy, let my soul by thee preserve me. O thou my God, thy servant save that puts his trust in thee. Sith unto thee I daily cry, be merciful to me. Rejoice thy servant's soul, for Lord, I lift my soul to thee. For thou art gracious, O Lord, and ready to forgive, and rich in mercy all that call upon thee to relieve. Psalm 86, these four stanzas from the beginning of the psalm, O Lord, do thou bow down thine ear. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.